Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Today is the 19th of May, and this is the quote-unquote post-mortem session of the Ontology Summit for 2011, where we are going to look back a little bit and revisit the summit and the symposium, see what worked, see what needs to happen moving forward, both for this summit as well as for future summits. So just to remind you, this year's summit was co-chaired by myself, Steve Ray, and Dr. Nicola Guarino, who is also on the line. And I will now just refer you to the slides that are at the top of the page. If you'll go ahead and bring up the ones under the link of 0-chair, and I'll just take you briefly through what we have lined up for today. On the first slide, the title slide, you can see, I want to remind everyone that there were six co-organizers of this year's summit who are all acknowledged here, and we are much appreciating their involvement. On slide number two, let me just walk you then through the agenda. I'm going to just remind us, refresh our memory on what this year's summit was all about, how it unfolded, what took place. Then we're going to launch right into an invitation for anyone to chime in, hopefully very much augmented by our chat room, with observations of what worked, what didn't work, what could be done better in the future, so that we can continue to improve the way these ontology summits operate. Following that, which I'm expecting, well, we'll see how many comments we get, but anywhere from a half an hour to 45 minutes, we'll move on to description of follow-on actions from the summit that just concluded. In particular, the three items you see on slide number two there, some documentation of the summit, which will augment the communique itself, which is online. There have been suggestions that we need to continue to address the ongoing collection of use cases, and actually, there are a couple of aspects to that, which Michael Eschol will be touching upon a little bit later today, this morning. And then thirdly, Ali Hashemi will be talking about how we might want to, even for this year, if not for the future, be a little more systematic about how we make the results more accessible to the lay public rather than just a multi-page wiki web page, and this has a lot to do with essentially marketing or couching the information in forms which are very accessible. Finally, today we want to, if we have time, have a little bit of time for brainstorming on possible themes for next year. So let's get to it, and we'll see how we can get through this. Slide number three, just to give you a few statistics here, you can see we had the six co-organizers that I just mentioned. We also had a variety of things, the organizing committee, of which there were 20 members, a much larger advisory committee, which we drew upon at times. I won't read all the numbers here to you, but you can see we had a fair number of subscribers to the Ontology Summit list, quite a lot of volume of traffic during the 3 months that the summit took place, a lot of virtual sessions on the Thursdays typically, the two-day symposium, and then all the endorsements. So all in all, our numbers are going up every year. This is no exception. This is good to see. Slide number four. Just to remind you all what happened on January 20th, rather, is when we officially launched the summit, I will remind you of the goal. Actually, if you just jump ahead to slide number five really quickly. The goal of the summit this year was making the case for ontology. And so we discussed it. And in the end, this is the goal as stated here on slide five, which was to assist essentially the ontology community itself in making the case to other parties, other audiences, by means of the things listed there. Now, let me jump back to slide number four. We launched that theme on January 20th. That's when we then had, obviously, 3 months of discussion. We had Thursday virtual sessions. Plus, we had a synthesis of a number of, quote-unquote, tracks of various aspects of that theme by the track co-chairs, co-champions. And then we conclude on April 18th and 19th at NIST in Gaithersburg for our summit symposium, where we essentially wrapped it up, tweaked small tweaks on the communique, which is really just the entree into a much larger body of information on the wiki of the material that had been collected. Okay, so let me now shoot us over to slide number 6. This is how we broke down the discussion of how to make the case, of providing ammunition, if you like, and materials and guidance for making the case. These were essentially the tracks that we had at the symposium and also ongoing leading up to the symposium during the online sessions on Thursdays and email. We had the framework, which was essentially a way of looking at the entire landscape of usages. Again, this is a framework for ontology applications or usages, not ontologies themselves. We had a large collection of applications or case studies, use case studies, some of which we did not really have a chance to present very thoroughly, if at all, during the summit. And it's for that reason that we were going to go back and revisit the ongoing collection of use cases. We had a track on these value metrics, value models, and the value proposition. In other words, speaking to the fact that decision makers are often asking, well, how are you going to measure success? How am I going to measure return on investment? And what are they looking for? Sometimes cost, sometimes functionality, et cetera. We had a track on various strategies. This is really depending upon the audience. What kinds of things would you want to stress for making a case in ontology? And finally, we had a session sort of looking forward about what are potential or likely grand challenges where ontology could play a large role in the future. And then, of course, we had the communique at the symposium where a lot of this was articulated in a concise form as possible. Michael Ushold played a very large role in working with the team, though we did have a team of editors and contributors for putting that communique together. Okay, hopefully your memories are all refreshed at this point of what that was all about and brings up perhaps issues that concerned you or even logistics and sort of procedural aspects of the summit or the symposium that come to mind. So with that, slide number 7, what we are going to do is pause at this point and invite everyone on the call to chime in on things that they thought worked better this year than last year, or worked worse, obviously, whatever. Any comments on essentially lessons learned about the summit, about what we could have done better, what we could have done worse, et cetera. So I would invite you to go ahead and raise your hand on the chat board. That would probably be the most organized way. That's the button on the lower right corner, pretty much, of the chat room. And I will recognize anyone who has something to say. I would also ask that you go ahead and synopsize your comment in the text on the chat just so that we have retained that and captured it for the future. So I see Matthew has raised his hand, and, of course, Matthew, you're going to have to do a star 3 so we can hear you, but go ahead and test your voice, and I'll tell you if I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you indeed, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think the main thing that I wanted to say was just how well I thought that this summit had gone. The thing that I think that made that happen was actually the maturity with which participants approached the whole exercise. If you look back, I think that over previous summits, I think you can see how that maturity has grown over the years. This year, I thought we sort of, I had the feeling we arrived.
Well, that's encouraging to hear. I've synopsized that on the chat. I agree. I think that people did stay on topic and didn't go off on these various rants or whatever.
People didn't go off on their own hobby horses in the way that sometimes happens.
Sometimes happens, that's true. It might be a combination of the topic itself, which I think is something which we all recognize we have to deal with. And so it wasn't something that only a few of us shared.
I certainly think that helped, but the effectiveness that you get from behaving in that mature way as people did, I think gives significant benefits and dividends. I think it'll be interesting to see whether we can carry that maturity forward into next year, when it might be a topic that's a little more controversial, for instance. But that's something that we need to find out. Anyway, I really think that's worth saying.
That's encouraging. I concur. So that was nice. That's nice to hear, actually. Peter, you have your hand up.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yes.
Yes. I echo what Matthew was just saying. I think this year has really been good, process-wise and also in the outcome. Of course, for those who have been with the summit all these years, you would know, the 3 months always represented like a peak load on email traffic. 1 year, I remember we had like about 3,500, 3,400 email exchanges. And this year, we actually had about 1,200, which I think was much better quality in terms of, I guess, for those who know Ontolog Forum, you know that any topic can sort of take off and morph into anything else, and sooner or later becomes an argument on what is an ontology or whether or not one needs a standard upper ontology or something like that. This year it didn't, and that was really good. And I think structurally we did team did a great job in terms of partitioning and framing the arguments, and things like special activities on whether it's preparing challenges or getting application cases or collecting sound bites and so on. Those were very focused and easy to follow, and I guess were conducive to helping get the proper input in place. One thing that really surpassed any previous year was the level of engagement and the level of virtual synchronous sessions. I remember previously we might have something like 4 panel sessions, mostly like a few weeks prior to the symposium when we finally decide that we need to collect input and so on. But this year it was all spaced out. It was pre-programmed. And except for 1 week, we had one session every single week. And each week was packed with just superb material. That said, of course, as you mentioned, and as some participants even pointed out, there were material that we didn't have the chance to go through, which would have been really great material. So as I heard you mention, we tend to continue to follow up and collect like application cases and provide opportunities for the community to see what those great applications out there are really doing, and have everyone learn from each other. I think this is great. So all in all, I agree this is the best summit we had so far.
Okay, yes, and I agree that I think the couple of things which we seem to have picked up on, which I think this is part of our agenda today, is the fact that we didn't manage to get to all the material, and that there would obviously be additional use cases coming up on an ongoing basis. So that's why we are going to have this little discussion about how to harness or address that need. And then the other thing is the observation has been made that, well, we really need to think about how we can present these results in a more digestible form for people. You know, we have to recognize that just because it's out there on the wiki doesn't mean that's the easiest way for people to absorb it. So, and again, that's something that that Ali Hashami is going to be talking about in just a minute. Anyone else? I'll prime the pump a little bit. Other things we're talking about, a comment has been made that maybe we were focused too much to the exclusion of other long-lasting results, too focused perhaps on the communique, and we can talk about that a little bit. And the one observation that I think we all agree is we didn't really get a lot of traction with the media this year, and people might have thoughts about why that happened. We typically are picked up more by the blogosphere and even some more traditional publications and things, and it really didn't happen this year. So that's an item of a little bit of concern. No one has their hands up, but I'll give you all 5 more minutes, and then I'm going to move us on to the next part of the agenda. Okay, Leo, go ahead and do a star 3 if you haven't already. I don't hear you, so you're going to have to keep attempting to unmute yourself, and I'm going to keep talking to indicate to you that I'm not hearing you.
Or Leo, if you know the number you're calling in from, I could unmute you from the control panel here.
He's calling back in, according to the chat. So I'll tell you what. Let's let Michael Ushold say a comment here while we're waiting for Leo to dial back in. Michael?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Yeah. Just a quick comment. If I don't know that it was anybody's job specifically to take it on board to do the media thing, and if it wasn't, that's a pretty good explanation as to why we didn't get much coverage, because nobody was really doing it. If someone was doing it, then it's a different question.
Yeah, I know that in the past I did what I have done in past years, which is contact various traditional media folks, technical editors and journalists and things that I knew around the Washington area. And I did that again this year.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't my job per se. So in past years we seem to have gotten enough traction even though it wasn't anyone's job. But I think maybe what this is raising is the point that maybe it ought to be someone's job in the future so that it doesn't sort of slip through the cracks.
Sure.
So
okay.
That's probably
folks, I'm back.
Okay, well, it's your turn, Leo, so go ahead.
It sounded like Michael was kind of underscoring what I was going to say. In other words, I wondered about the actual, you know, positive outreach that we made to anyone for publicity. And it sounds like you did, Steve, but perhaps we need, you know, some sort of like publicity chair or news chair or something like that for the future.
Public information officer. Yes.
Yes, as part of the, you know, so it's part of the chairs of the summit. Somebody who will, you know, actually dedicate a little bit of time in interacting with the news folks.
Indeed. Okay. I'm putting it down in the chat. Giving you due credit.
And did we get any feedback from the press at all? In other words, when you made notice to them, reply to email or anything like that?
I think I will quickly double check again on my emails and tell you what I got back. I think I sent him one way early. Let's see. No, I did not get anything back from him, the technical editor from Government Computer News, for example. I was checking up with him, and then Job Jackson was another person. So I actually didn't hear back from them this time. So, and I did not, I will say, do the follow-up of getting back over to them again, you know, that I notified them of the event, told them the date, and hoped for the best. So you're right, I think someone who sort of owns it and feels like they need to follow up and keep on them, I think, is the way to go. We could have perhaps started earlier also with NIST's Public Affairs Office, which was a last-minute thing, literally the first day of the summit, we decided to see if we could get anything from them. And I'm not even sure that even went anywhere. So a little bit slack on that, I would agree.
Okay, I mean, because GCN is typically ahead of the curve on this. They'll have semantic web, semantic technologies articles.
Yeah.
So maybe it's even worthwhile having a follow-up that kind of sees if anyone wants to synopsize what the results were.
Yeah. All right, I will shoot him another email. Wyatt Cash is the guy who is the editor there, who I've been communicating with on a pretty regular basis. So I will do that.
Okay, great.
Michael Gruninger, you have your hand up.
So were we going to be addressing any kind of specific content issues as opposed to format right now, or was that something later for the agenda?
Well, why don't you go ahead and put it out there, and then we can decide whether that would be more properly fitting in the follow-on actions or something like that.
Okay. So, you know, as you know, people have noted, you know, one of our challenges in the past has been the actual face-to-face sometimes degrades into wordsmithing, and we've pretty well, more or less succeeded this year in doing that. So then one question kind of arises in general, which is, then what are we, if we can succeed to the 100% to avoid wordsmithing, then what is the value added at the face-to-face? And I think this year notwithstanding the fact that I was a panelist, I thought the panel worked out very well because it gave a different perspective on the issues and made it a little more almost kind of forward-looking, kind of challenges, if you will. So I thought that worked well. And in the future, we might also want to think about exactly the role and the value added of the face-to-face itself beyond wordsmithing and beyond just ratification of the document. And then the other point was in terms of the specific content, say the tracks that we had coming up to it, the challenge problems, we probably could have done a better job at discussing the role of those challenge problems or perhaps having that, maybe having more discussion at the face-to-face. It would be really nice to have certain challenge problems to guide either the application of ontologies or the development of ontologies. And so that would have been a nice outcome that we didn't quite pull that off this year. Perhaps that could be a topic for another year, you know, challenge problems for ontology application and design.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for both of those. I think... whoops. I noticed, by the way, VNC just failed on me, but I don't know if anyone else. I agree that as we get our arms around the idea of a communique not having to be done in real time in the symposium, it does open up the opportunity of taking advantage of the physical meeting to open up to new areas like, as you say, the panels, things like that. So maybe we will try to continue that trend to have the communique more of a product on the way, but not the focus of the symposium. I think that's what you're saying, as I hear you. Okay, Leo, any follow-up? Uh-oh. Are you going to have to call in again? I'm not hearing you, Leo. Huh. I have to find out how he's calling in. He's probably using one of those landlines, you know, which I remember landlines. But can't hear you if you're doing star 3.
Yes, okay.
There you go, okay.
Yeah, it's my phone. My phone is going here. So I agree with Michael on this. And I think the value of the contribution by the editors in particular to the communique enabled us to really have it solidified before the symposium. And that's what it really takes is, you know, dedication by those who are actually composing the communique. So I think, you know, Michael Eschold, John Bateman, and the rest of the folks really did a good job on that.
I agree. Very, very appreciated how they managed to make that not the focus, if you like, of the chewing up a lot of the time.
One issue is, you know, that we always have new people coming in at the last minute, both on the virtual, you know, email and also at the session, the symposium itself, where they want to interject, you know, new material, such as, you know, obviously what an ontology is. I think that's going to be hard to prevent. We just need to make sure that when we get those questions and or potential rabbit holes exposed, that we kind of deflect, as I think we did this year, to previous information, previous sessions, previous ontology summits.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, it was occurring to me that we may even want to strengthen the Fabian rule even more, because if we're going to have a significant number of attendees, maybe three people is not even enough to screen out. I mean, it did work pretty well this time, I think, the Fabian rule, in terms of not letting us revisit past topics. But so in that, I guess I would mark the Fabian rule up as a success in that context. And I see Fabian's online, so he can be basking in the glow of that. But, okay, do we have anyone else having any other suggestions? I think we've got a good set, and I'm hoping people will write them in the chat so that we can capture and see them in the future as well. If no one else does have another specific comment, then, thanks, Fabian. I'm going to move us on then to the three follow-on action discussions, for which there are a few more slides. And if, Peter, you can go to slide number 8. The first one has to do with this idea of how are we going to document. In other words, the comment had been, the observation had been made that, you know, just the communique on the wiki may not be enough, and even the communique on the wiki with links pointing to the other material that is behind it may not be enough. And for that, I wanted to just very briefly talk about on slide 9 what we have in mind for additional documentation of this year's summit. So we have the wiki, we have the communique, and the synthesis pages, which if you know they're there and follow the links, you can find all this material. There are two concrete plans in mind in addition to this, right away, and one is that some of us, myself included, will be working with NIST on an expanded, fairly comprehensive more traditional printed report, which will be probably quote-unquote published by NIST as an interagency report. These are internal, sort of internal reports for NIST, but they are available to the public. They're on the NIST web pages and things, but they are, there's no limitation of length. It's a fairly forgiving format and context, in as much as some people will publish, you know, raw data, things like that, as a NIST interagency report, a NIST-IR, so-called. So anyway, a number of us will be participating in that. If anyone else would like to jump in on that, please note your interest in the chat so that we can capture that. But so that's one thing we're going to be doing, is collecting what we have and expanding, you know, following up more of the citations and things like that as a traditional publication. In addition, we're going to be taking the communique and perhaps tweaking it, packaging it, and, you know, if we want, we have to decide, but packaging it properly, and that would be a publication in the Applied Ontology Journal, as have past communiques been showing up there. So that's a separate but not totally unrelated activity, because obviously each can feed off the other if as appropriate. So let's see, I've just noticed Fabian's hand is up. I'm not sure it's the current discussion or
yes.
or the past one. Go ahead, Fabian.
I just wanted to mention that Al suggested that we might be interested in writing something up for these NIST highlights. Do you know, you probably know it better than I do. NIST has this publication which, you know, tries to highlight what great researcher thinks it has done, and he was wondering whether the Ontology Summit might be, whether we can write up a paragraph or something and they can use this in order to get some additional visibility.
Indeed, and you'll be happy to know I did that. So.
Oh, you did that?
I'm
sorry about that. I didn't know. Otherwise, I wouldn't have mentioned it. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I actually sent one in. We did it through ITL, through Ram Sriram.
Oh.
So I believe he's probably or possibly already submitted that into the mill at NIST. So
okay.
I think there will be a highlight talking about it. It was after the fact, not before the fact. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. Okay, so anyway, again, so we've got the sort of the non-compressed, non-concise version NIST report, and then the concise, compressed version of the journal paper. And, of course, there's no constraints. If people would like to do additional journal publications or all, we can certainly do that. So that is in the plans. In the absence of any other comments, then, I'm going to go to slide number 10, where we now have Michael Ushold. Now, actually, there are a couple of pieces to this one. This arose from the need from an observation of everyone saying we didn't really get a chance to see all the use cases, and anyway, they're going to be more. And then Michael had also raised this topic of a catalog of use cases. So Michael has a set of slides that is accessible via the wiki if you want to click on the one that says 2-Ushold, and I will turn over the floor to Michael.
Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Excellent. Okay, so now are you going to talk briefly about the ongoing use cases, or shall I say a couple words about that here?
Why don't you go ahead and say a couple words, because,
okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
Right, so essentially the idea, as Steve pointed out, was let's continue the momentum we had in building up use cases, because ultimately they're one of the biggest and most important things in making the case and pointing to where it's already been done already. So two ways to do that. One is to continue the process that we started, which is to say have regular ongoing sessions where people give a 10 or 15 minute summary of an ontology application that they are familiar with. And so it was proposed that we continued those. There were some people who put out ideas and they didn't actually get a chance to talk. So the core idea there is simply to, you know, have an ongoing, you know, series of ontolog seminars in the usual way outside the communique per se, to go through these use cases. So that's the first idea. The second idea is to have a catalog. So what we got was a tremendous amount of good work from Mills and Mike Bennett and on this application cases thing. And Mills at one point did something I thought was interesting. He said, well, they're not really case studies, they're case examples. And that was really quite an interesting observation, because what he was really saying was, well, you know, we haven't really studied this very carefully, but here are a bunch of examples. So that's kind of how that worked. What would it need to be done to do more serious, you know, studies, in fact? So the idea is, if you go to page 2, which is the first non-title slide page, the idea is to have a catalog of ontology uses. So anytime anyone has an ontology and they make use of it in an application or in a company organizational setting, even if it's not an application, you know, that could be written up and characterized. And it would need to be to be maximally useful. You would want to have standard metadata that people use to enter these use cases. So they would answer a series of questions. It would be perhaps on a form. And the metadata would come from, you know, an evolved version of the ontology usage framework that Mike Gruninger and I put together. So ideally you would want, you know, someone who had a use case, they would log on to some system, they'd have an interface, they'd fill out a form, and the form would be semantically driven. So in the mere process of entering information into the form, you know, you would create essentially a semantic database, and that could be used to search for different things. You'd also want to allow people to rate it. Other people should go in there and say, you know, this is good, this is bad, I liked it, I didn't like it, comments, this kind of thing. Kind of like a community. I think that would be, that's the thing I have in mind. So what would we need to do to get there? Page 3. First, we have this ontology usage framework that exists mostly as, you know, a wiki page. I did begin the process of converting it into an ontology that could be used for the semantic metadata. So then that would have to be, you know, expanded out a fair bit. Creating an application with this forms interface backed by semantic data from the ontology, that's another big task to actually make the application. And it could be made with semantic wiki. I'll talk in a minute about a similar type of a thing that was done that way. And then, of course, populate the catalog, you know, with the ontology uses we have to date. This would be seeding it with what we have already to kind of, and then we would put out an announcement to people and say, hey, here it is, here's how it works, you know, do a few tests, make sure other people can learn how to use it. And then invite the community to just come on and participate in the effort by entering their own ontology use cases. So now there is an analogy here. I presume everybody has access to the internet. So if you go to the next slide, slide 4, this is some work that I did for the NEON project just as it was closing out. If you click at that first link, there's currently a catalog of what are called exemplary ontologies. And this is the kind of thing that we could do. So if you go to that web page, the title of the web page is not very useful. It's called Ontology Main. But what you have is a bunch of ontologies that have been submitted by the community. So we seeded this with maybe 10 or 15, and then the community added maybe another 10 or 15. So these are ontologies that people add. So if you go down to Good Relations, it's about 7 or 8 down. You can click on that link, and then you get a sense of what it looks like for a particular ontology that's been entered. So it has a name, it has a description, what's its purpose, you know, what organization, standard sorts of metadata, you know, what's the justification for why you think this is an exemplary ontology, who recommended it, blah, blah, blah. So this was a simple type of a thing. And I think that we could do something along these lines, and it would be very useful as a community resource. So that's the idea there.
Could you ask, answer one quick question I just have, just my prerogative, I guess.
Go ahead.
What's the relationship between this and the Open Ontology Repository?
Well, that is a great question. The relationship should be that the Open Ontology Repository that ontology is used as the metadata for the exemplary ontologies. The truth of the matter is, when I did that, they were sort of done in parallel. One started before the other, and there wasn't funding to align those. So as I was doing that work, I said, wait a minute, this should be the OOR metadata, or ORV, I guess it's called. And everybody agreed, but there wasn't funding to continue.
Peter, you have your hand up. If you're taking questions, Michael.
Yes, I guess this is high time we sort of try to get synergies among these efforts. I remember having a fairly long conversation with Michael Eichholt when he was going around asking people to submit exemplary ontologies, and I said, I mean, that's something OR is doing, except that OR probably will look at these as instance data in that regard. I mean, as content, and now OR has a very focused effort led by Michael Gruninger. So Michael or Gruninger should maybe tell us a little more about it, which again is sort of built upon OMV, and so I think if we lump all these efforts together, and then we can really get some really good synergy.
Yeah, I think in my little mini ontology that I created a few months ago, you know, there's a whole placeholder for the ontology usage, which is the ontology itself, and that ontology itself, you know, should obviously then be described at some level by the OOV vocabulary, or pointed to in the ontology repository.
Right. The ontology. So maybe to answer Steve's question, the difference between the ontology repository and what Michael is doing here is, ontology repositories function is to host people's ontologies, and of course, if one really wants to get in, one will be there's a mandate that one should submit the right amount of metadata before your ontology gets accepted into the OOR.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And the link between the two is, of course, the ontology. So ideally, if we ever get this catalog of ontology uses off the ground, then the ontologies themselves that are being used should all probably go into the OOR, and indeed the interface for submitting an ontology usage should link right to the same interface, and it should go in simultaneously with people not even knowing there's two separate things there. So they really should be joined, you know, ideally, if we had funding to do this.
Right. Okay, so, I mean, in fact, I would see, and then I'll let Fabian, who's next in the queue, but I'll just observe that, I guess, as Peter pointed out, the Open Ontology Repository is the repository itself, and there can be multiple portals into that repository. In other words, multiple perspectives or views of the characterization of the material in the repository. So this could be one, and the OOR itself could have another one, a native one, if you like. Fabian, you have comments?
Yes. I thought, and the way I understood what Michael was presenting was that this is bigger than the repository, right? I mean, in the sense that it might contain use cases where you can't access the ontology because it's private, or, you know. So, and the other thing I wanted to mention is that Nicola and I already discussed that during face-to-face. My question was, what was the motivation for people to spend time documenting the ontologies this way and the use cases. And one motivation would be that they could get a publication out of it in applied ontology. So if the applied ontology would contain a regular institution presentations on use cases with the success or also problems statements, then that would motivate people to populate the catalog, because that might be the gateway to be selected as one of presenting your ontology and your work on a larger forum in applied ontology. And Nicola can address that suggestion.
Well, that's a very good point, because Nicola's next in the queue. So, Nicola, would you like to comment on that? Go ahead, Nicola. Whoops. I heard Nicola laughing, but then he seems to have blanked out, so I'm not sure if he lost his connection or what. So, let's see, while I'm waiting...
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I forgot to unmute myself. Anyway, I have a comment concerning Michael's example of the about these exemplary ontologies. The point which is implicit in this effort concerns the quality evaluation of the things we put online. I honestly prefer very much the open ontology repository approach with respect to the exemplary ontologies approach, mainly because, labeling yourself as an exemplary ontology implicitly, means that you are, want to be a reference point for others. And this is very, very complicated and very risky. So ultimately, it would be nice to have some kind of quality criteria for addressing specific ontologies, but we are far from this position now. And so I pretty much prefer a more neutral way of just putting things there in a repository. Yes, cataloging different ways ontologies are used. This is very important. So I'm in favor of Michael's proposal, but I just want to point out that comparing this approach to the stuff on the Ontology Design Patterns website is not the good way to go, in my opinion.
Let me just respond to that. I think we're talking across purposes here. The saying it's exemplary or not isn't the point. The point of showing that example was there's an example of how you can enter things in with the semantic form. That's all.
Okay.
There is one
if this is the case, then the point, of course, this is just a supplementary effort with respect to the ontology repository. That's it. This is just another repository.
Exactly.
We do have a semantic problem of the use of the word exemplary, which can, on the one hand, mean an example, and on the other hand, mean something worthy of, respect and, as an outstanding example kind of thing, which is in the normal usage of English.
That's true, but this is also a red herring, because we're not talking about exemplary ontologies or exemplary use cases. I was just showing that as an example of a repository.
It
could have been a repository for, Boeing airplane designs. I don't know. It was just an example of something that you could build up with semantic form.
But it does raise the issue of sort of overlap with the mission of the OOR, for sure.
And, no, that's true. So, but I would say the issue of how good things are is an issue that deserves some discussion, but it really is just a separate discussion.
Yeah.
We shouldn't get hung up on exemplariness.
Yeah. Michael, you have your hand up. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, so to add maybe some other more pedantic distinctions, the OOR, constructing a repository, it's constructing a software artifact, and so much of the discussion has to do with exactly how such a software artifact would be designed, constructed, maintained, And to that extent, we wouldn't be building a repository of use cases. I think, you know, my take on Michael Eschel's idea is that what we want to do is to take advantage of the framework that we have developed so far and to use it as a way of capturing use cases in a kind of more dynamic, almost living way, so that this is an ongoing effort. And then eventually people will be able to search for other related use cases, other applications, other use cases within the same domain, other use cases within the same kind of application, other use cases with similar ontologies. That will be the ultimate kind of benefit that people will draw from this. And the idea is simply to kind of have this, you know, I think maybe the word might be more of a clearinghouse, again, because repositories typically would have this kind of software, more attention paid to the software interface for gatekeeping, et cetera. Whereas I think right now we want to have more of a semantic wiki approach. And so now then following up on kind of Fabian's point, I think eventually somebody, whether it's the Applied Ontology Editorial Board, whether it's the International Association of Ontology and its Applications, I think we do need to come up with a framework of quality. My favorite example is, say, the National Academy of Sciences. If you publish a paper in their proceedings, you have to follow a very strict format, and there's a great deal of openness that's required in order to actually publish. So I think as a community, some kind of entity within our community has to come up with what those minimal criteria are. It will be an extension of the framework that we have done already, but I think it will need to elaborate the role, the openness of the ontology, exactly how much detail is required, and other quality concerns for presenting a use case.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, I want to move us along a little bit because it's 10:30 almost, and we only have a half an hour reserve left. I did want to remind us that we still have left kind of hanging the issue of an ongoing repository of use cases, as Michael Eschel mentioned at the beginning. We don't really have a concrete plan for a way forward on that.
No, that's true. That's the last slide, slide five. Do we have any volunteers? Who will do the work?
Yeah, and it's a different kettle of fish than, obviously, cataloging ontologies. As such, it's a much more customer perspective.
It's a good project for a student to get their hands dirty implementing a semantic wiki project or whatever, or some other format.
Yeah, it need not even be a semantic wiki, of course, but I think it will be of great relevance and use to people who are trying to point to concrete, real commercial implementations.
Exactly.
So that's still out there, hanging out there. So I just want to remind people of that. We don't have any people stepping forward saying, you know what, that is something I think I'm equipped to do, or I have the students to do, or whatever. So I think we need to note that. I'm pausing, a little pregnant pause here in case anyone wants to raise their hand, at which point I'll immediately interpret it as a volunteering. I better take mine down. In all seriousness, I think it is something that would be very useful. It's not trivial, but tremendously useful. So for the record, let's keep that there. Peter, you had a comment?
Yes, obviously, I continue to volunteer the Ontolog Forum platform to do this. So the people we could enlist, obviously, would be the people who were pulling together the application cases at the summit, which would be Mike Bennett and Mills. But then, over the years, at Ontolog Forum, two people, Kurt Conrad and Dwayne Nichols have, I guess about maybe once every year or two, pulled together sessions to feature, application cases. Obviously, over one summit, we've done like five times more than they've done over the years, but they've been doing this, and every now and then Dwayne makes a post on Ontolog Forum soliciting cases and pull a session together. So we could tap into their resources. And then Ken Buklowski and one more person, it was Mike Bandit again, have been doing a series called Emerging Ontologies, which tends to feature new ontologies that were developed and presented. If we assume that an ontology is developed for the purpose of certain applications, or at least there's one in mind, then that effort could also be merged, and there should be a few people we could enlist to help put that effort together. So I am willing to help whoever wants to step up and champion this whole effort.
Okay. And I appreciate your ongoing volunteering of the infrastructure. I think obviously that's a necessary first step, is to have that infrastructure. Okay, so everyone out there can feel appropriately guilty about this need for an ongoing use case collection project. Let the record note that that's still hanging out there. But in the interest of time, I'd like to go ahead and move on to the third follow-on action topic, which is this notion of public delivery of the information to people who don't necessarily have the fortitude to want to wade through the wiki pages or whatever. And for that, I'd like to invite Ali Hashemi to take the floor. And also, folks can download his slides at the wiki page to see what's there. Ali, are you online? I can't hear you yet.
Hi, I am. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I want to talk about very briefly the visibility and accessibility of output of the Ontology Summit. It really built on what Steve and Michael just presented. But if we can go to slide two. So the whole point of the summit was to provide tools for the evangelists to be able to make the case better, right? And if we're providing resources for them, then we should be providing the resources in a way that's most accessible for what they're doing, which means maybe giving a bit more thought to how exactly you're going about what they're doing, and make their access to the resources that much easier. On the use case wiki itself, we actually wrote, have a screenshot and key features for the ontology to give a flavor of the use. Yet on the wiki itself, we just giant, massive text that people have to wade through. It really is a case of us heeding our own advice. Going to the next slide, slide three. I think Michael Eschel pointed this out last week as well. The community represents the culmination of several months of work. And while it's true that all this information is available on the wiki, it's not particularly easy to get to. I mean, if you can use Google and you know keywords, everything is there. But it does involve a lot of clicking and knowing what you're looking for. So this suggests, perhaps, that alongside the output of the summit being a communique and the recording of all this on the wiki, maybe we should consider explicitly putting as part of the purpose of the summit the creation of a website or a resource that goes beyond and extends further. And this directly connects to what Michael Eschel was talking about in terms of creating a research repository where people can easily draw what they need. But I mean, right now, looking at what we have, on the Ontolog wiki, it's sort of the text wrapping matches the width of your browser window. So if your browser is, if you're on a 22-inch or 24-inch monitor, you're reading a giant length of text, and you have to pop out your tab and look at that. Often because we don't really have a navigation bar in there or an overview of all the key elements of all the tasks on the communicate page itself. Now, again, all this information is there. It's just we need to improve on the presentation. Going to the next slide. This is about the visibility as well that ties into this. So we were making the case, but the reason we're making the case is that we all believe that ontology is ready. And to make it easier, it would help if we had a larger, messaging strategy. What we've done is communicate very well with Entourage, IOA, and other members, but there are a lot of people who could use this stuff, but they are not tapped into the community. I mean, I have that graphic of, that's actually a cactus there, but I mean, imagine we're that is a web network, and we're in the tiny section of that network, and we want to reach out to other people who are interested in the same thing, but aren't on our forums or mailing lists and so on. Specifically, we're thinking about strategists and decision makers who might not go to an ontology website, but might go to a technology or business blog, business intelligence, enterprise architecture. Both of these fields have a lot of overlap, but I'm not sure we're getting the visibility there. And there are people in these communities who have some inkling of ontology and would be candidates to be ontology evangelists, but they don't have access to this information. So we really need to create a buzz on the locations where these people frequent about the summit and its output. And something very basic that we can do is have Entourage members, IOA members, whoever, to actually maintain blogs, actually blog about what we're doing. And sort of like how Google PageRank works, the more people that are referencing it, the easier it will be to point to that visibility. Moving to slide 5. Throughout the whole thing, and I think
there's some noise in the background. Can I mute everyone and Ali, if you unmute yourself again, if you please?
Hello?
Yes. Yeah. Great.
Is this better?
Sorry. Yes. Absolutely. But please continue.
Okay. I'm on slide 5 right now. So the slide 4 focused on where we can target people so we know more about what the Ontology Summit purpose was. And slide 5 is more about the underlying purpose of the summit, which is that we want to make it easier overall for people to make the case. And that means making ontology make its way into the mainstream as a cultural artifact, as a terminology. And throughout all our publications, all our discussions, we should be trying to project some sort of confidence. And perhaps the larger goal is to actually make ontology a common word, so we don't have a situation where, say, ontology works changes its name away from ontology. And then going quickly to slide 6 to wrap it up, just a summary. The first thing that we can do is to make sure that our resources persist in an accessible manner beyond the conclusion of the summit. This implies that perhaps we need to add on to the agenda of the summit the creation of these resources as an explicit item, maybe even have a track to maintain this. So we're not asking for volunteers once the real thrust or the climax is passed. And then beyond that, more awareness of how to get our message out there to the relevant blogs, to the relevant media. Make sure, maybe even actually make it a resource where others can come and easily put together a story about what ontology is overall. There's a brief thread on the OOR mailing list about a media kit, and this is what that would be. And then always keep in mind what the broader background is. Our value judgment here was that ontology is ready, and it's a common term. So we need to make sure this message is a takeaway from the summit as well. So both of these, at this point, we need volunteers to do this type of work. It's a bit late for a press release with respect to the summit itself, but we do have some releases coming out, possibly with the Applied Ontology Journal, maybe with the release of the website or the usage catalog. Basically, all of those are opportunities to draw media attention to what we're doing, so that we can start building a broader cultural background.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's fine.
That's great. I think it's very concrete what you put forward, Ali, as far as recommendations for not only this year but future years in the summit. Some nice, actionable ideas for how we can improve this in the future. So, again, it begs the question, of course, this year as to who might be willing, and I'm sort of inferring that perhaps Ali would be part of a team of people who might be willing to take a crack at that for this year's summit in terms of a perhaps companion website which is geared toward communicating the message to a broader audience than the wiki, which is more of a tool for collaboration and for the ontology community itself. Am I correct, Ali, in inferring that you might be willing to work with others on that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, great. So that's something that's out there for people, especially if people like sort of the very gratification aspect of making a very pleasing and accessible web page. I think certain people get pleasure out of that part, which is nice and concrete and easier to appreciate, perhaps, than some of the things we put before ourselves. All right. Go ahead, yeah?
Sure, just one quick thing. Yeah, last week, Michael Ushult asked a question about whether it would be possible to get funding to do a quick layout or a website. It's a possibility.
Well, and of course, then one has to ask, yeah, who do we think might be someone who would be willing to fund it? And that we'd have to, I don't think there's an obvious answer right away on that, but especially for this existing summit, maybe in the future we can try and build that in to future attempts to get some support for the Ontology Summit. If anyone has ideas, I'm all ears. Okay. In the absence of any hands up, I'd like to take us back to the very last item on the agenda for today, which I regret I didn't copy over on my duplicates of the agenda slide, but on slide 2 of my presentation, it is there, and that is the brainstorming for possible themes. Yeah, you're seeing slide 10 on the VNC. If you go back to slide 2, you'll see the version of the agenda slide, which actually has that last topic. There we go. So I see that Leo, who went ahead and threw some suggestions onto the chat. I've got to find him again now, since the chat has moved on. How many screens back was it, Leo? I saw it go by. There it is, jumping ahead a bit. So
yeah,
about
I
one
mean, I could repeat them.
All right, why don't you go ahead and introduce those ideas anyway, just to get the conversation going.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, I took some notes during the symposium, and we really didn't have time to address them, but some of the things I heard are reflected here. So number one was ontology best practices, methodologies, evaluation. I know that that's a lot, but they're kind of related. That was number one topic. Number two topic that was brought up was ontology self-correction, automated growth, and ontology learning. I guess to me that reduces kind of to ontology learning. So I just wanted to mention those.
Interesting. Yeah, the second one strikes me as being much more obviously researchy in nature, since I don't know how much people have managed to do with self-expanding ontologies, I guess, you know, ontology learning. But fascinating topic. And there's the other one. So anyone else have any ideas put out there or reactions to those two topics? Fabian, you have your hand up. And you'll probably there you go, you're on, I hear you.
I would suggest to split ontology best practice and methodologies from evaluation. Just as a result of the workshop on evaluation we had, I don't know, 2 years ago or something here at NIST, that is a huge problem in itself, or a kettle of problems in itself. So, and it led to a lot of ideological conversations. So I think actually if we try to do something like ontology best practices, it's probably easier to come to a community consensus on that. And that's why I would suggest, not that I don't see that the things are related, I agree with that, but I think it's probably too big and it could, I think, at least if the discussion works in a similar way as this workshop we had, it could lead to a situation where there is no compromise at all because people have very strong opinions on evaluation. Although, I think there's more potential for compromise than the community consensus on best practices.
Okay, now are you suggesting when you say split it, that there might be then peeling off as another possible theme is ontology evaluation?
Right.
Or do you think that is too divisive?
No, I would, if it comes to a vote, I would vote for ontology-based practices and methodologies and not for evaluation. But if other people believe evaluation is a very good topic, then we can do that as well. I just don't want to mix it together.
Okay. All right. Noted. Nicola, you have your hand up?
Yes. I'm definitely in favor of the first proposal made by Leo, although I agree with Fabian that maybe evaluation should be, in a sense, left a little bit apart. Let's say not emphasized in the title. Implicitly, of course, when it goes to a methodologies and best practices, implicitly there is some kind of evaluation. But I agree with Fabian. Either we address evaluation as such, or maybe we keep a little bit hidden, giving more importance to best practices and methodologies. I believe, however, it is important to put together methodologies and best practices, not to only focus on best practices. I believe, by the way, the keyword, the methodology, has been mentioned a number of times in previous issues of the Ontology Summit, and we never properly addressed it. And still, for instance, we are in a situation where there is no, let's say, standard reference book for ontology methodology. Still, people don't know what to do when they need to develop an ontology. So there is a huge demand for this. I believe it is good, as Michael suggested, to stress the ontology engineering best practices, not just ontology, but this is a minor point.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Good point. Yuri, you have your hand up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just suggest to put the topic ontology in the context of the alternative ways of the web development at all. I see that some cloud, maybe some other people thinking about other way in the development of the whole stuff. As an alternative context.
I see.
My idea. It would be interesting to see who is a competitor. We are not on the only way in the world.
That's true. All right. So, alternatives. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting point. Peter, you have your hand up. But I don't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can, yes.
Okay, before I go into that, will anyone who's made any suggestion please type it out, because we are not going to look at this seriously until like November, so if it's not documented, it's almost like you didn't say it.
Right.
So please type that back into the chat, and it'll be there in November when we seriously look at next year's topic. But two topics I want to bring up. One, during our preparation for strategies this year is we did say that we were focused on putting food to the table. So we intentionally left off things that are more strategic, but actually is more important in that ontology is still nascent. So I still think, I mean, there is a need for making the case for ontology research and not just making the case for ontology application. Although I guess I'm just bringing it up and I don't see a lot of chances that gets adopted for next year. One thing that's more effective actually is trying to bring together ontology and the software engineering community, because these are the people who can really get value if we can convince them that that's the next way to do better software, and I think we have a convincing case to make. So, and this topic has been brought up, I think, a couple of years before every year, and maybe next year is the right year to do ontology and software engineering. And Steve suggested ontology and system engineering. That is equally fine. But it's just putting ontology into something really tangible that has a practicing set of professionals that could really put it out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Noted. And thank you for putting that in the chat as well. Ali, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I was just wondering to what degree that would be this, the broader idea of an ontology as part of a knowledge system or as part of a broader system of technologies. Maybe that's too broad a topic, but I think that fits nicely with ontology and software system of engineering.
Right. Yeah, I think that is pretty much probably captured in the software and or systems engineering context. So, okay. Any out-of-the-box ideas, do you think? I'm trying to think of something we may not have even discussed before, but maybe it's hard to do that on the spot right this time. But I would encourage people as they go off, think about some other ways of capturing both the imagination of participants, but also providing real value for in a persistent way for future themes. This is something we would like to keep going, if at all possible. And the better the idea, obviously, the better chance we can keep it going, both from the point of view of support for it and participation. Okay, well, listen, it's 6 minutes before the hour, and no one else has their hands up, so I think we have captured in the chat most of the things I had hoped we would be capturing. We didn't quite come to closure on, for example, people who might be willing to launch a project on collecting use cases for the future. That one's still out there, but all the others, we have, I think, got some people assembled around getting those other things done, which is good. Nicola, you have your hand up. Would you like to comment? I heard it click.
Yes. One short point concerning the process to do this brainstorming in the next weeks or months. I don't know when it is going to finish. But I guess we should exploit mailing lists. And for instance, within the IOA, I believe we can also have a kind of explicit involvement of members to participate to this brainstorming, suggesting things, even voting, you know, different alternatives. This could be a way to keep people involved.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think, luckily, and maybe this was planned by Peter in the first place, the Ontology Summit mailing list is not pegged to a given year. Is that correct, Peter? It's just called Ontology Summit.
That is correct. We use exactly the same list. We actually don't unsubscribe people unless they really want out. So we try to accumulate people over the years as well.
Right. So this is the mailing list that continues for this purpose, as distinct, say, from the Ontolog Forum discussion list and all. So I think you're right, Nicola. I think that would be the way to go for people as they go forward to put ideas to the mailing list. And, of course, we may also evolve the wiki pages, the Ontology Summit wiki pages.
Yes, and maybe at some point when the list of possible topics, for instance, right now, let's say quite a few very interesting topics emerged. The point is to select one, and maybe we can set up something like a doodle mechanism for asking people to vote. And this could be also a way to, well, keep people involved and also get a feeling of what the community thinks.
Yes, and I do note that Peter, I guess it was, probably created a new Ontology Summit wiki page now, which is a, if you like, homepage out of which all the other Ontology Summits are linked now, and that's great. I think that's something we hadn't had before, I don't think. At least I was unaware of it. So it's Ontology Summit of any year. And then you have links for the 6 years we've been holding this summit. So there could potentially, I'm just putting this out here, Peter, that maybe a link from that home page, which could be for future possible themes kind of thing. And we could be then collecting the ideas as they're presented, you know, synthesizing those summit ideas on a wiki page itself as they come in on email and things like that. Hopefully that wouldn't take too much labor. Saves people trying to wade through the email archives to find where were all the ideas suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound reasonable to you, Peter?
Yes, sounds good. So.
Okay. All right, well, in that case, I think this is we're landing this plane at the 1.5 hour mark, which is good. And I suggest we keep active on the email list. Keep your eye out for ongoing progress. I do agree that we will likely have another virtual session sometime in the not-too-distant future to touch base, check in on how things have progressed with respect to the outstanding actions and follow-on activities related both to this year's summit as well as future summits down the road. So with that, I just want to express my thanks to all of you as participants for this whole period, as well as today's session. And I'm hoping we can continue this long-term relationship on into the future. With that, unless anyone else wants to say any closing remarks, I suggest we adjourn this call. Do I have a second?
Second, and I want to give a vote of thanks to Steve and Nicola, who led this year's summit to great success.
Thank you, and thank you all.
Thank you.
For the thing in rule, don't you need a third?
I don't know. Robert Rules of Order? I guess I don't think so. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for participating, and we will definitely be keeping in touch, I'm sure. And with that, we'll close today's call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.